WOAI News Time is 11:11, Wednesday morning, September 24th, 1997. Good to have you with us. You heard all the hoopla yesterday about General Colin Powell and Governor George Bush here in San Antonio. Big rally, something called the Texas Challenge. The governor calling literally for armies of volunteers in Texas. He said armies of compassion, a call to arms for today's young people. What are they talking about? Well, this is an outgrowth of that big volunteer summit that was held in Philadelphia last spring. And what they are specifically talking about is adults, you and I, participating in getting involved in the lives of young people who are lacking either a father and or a mother, who are lacking the basic needs of young people, defined by them this way: an ongoing relationship with an adult or mentor, a safe place to learn, a healthy start, the learning of a marketable skill through education, and then an opportunity to give back to their community through community service. I don't want to talk in platitudes or generalities, though. I want to bring this right home to San Antonio. Here in this city, one organization whose volunteers make exactly this kind of difference, who have already answered exactly this call to arms, if you will, is Big Brothers Big Sisters of the Alamo area. And they know that what they do makes a difference in the lives of each boy and girl they touch, because we know statistics like this. When you compare young teenagers who have a big brother or big sister compared to those who are waiting for one or don't have one, you find that those with a big brother or sister are 46% less likely to use illegal drugs, 27% less likely to drink, 52% less likely to skip school. They're more confident. They feel better. They're less likely to hit someone, more likely to love their family and get along with their friends. And to really bring it home, to show you how one decision, one time, to be a volunteer, to participate in the life of a young person, can have so many effects, like a snowball rolling down a hill. We have on the WOAI Newsmaker line with us a lady named Chris Sinek. And Chris, good morning. Thanks for being on with us.
Good morning, Jack.
Let me tell your story real quickly, and then we'll ask you a little bit about it. Your husband passed away and left you with a son who was about how old?
He was six at the time, and he's 11 now.
Okay. You placed your son in the Big Brother program, and in fact, your late husband had been a Big Brother.
Yes, that's correct.
Recently, you were contacted by the child, now adult, who your husband had Big Brothered, a man named Mark Nasek.
Yes.
He had heard about your husband's death. He wanted to meet your son.
That's true.
He came to town to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about what kind of a man your son's father was, your husband was. Give him the gift of that knowledge.
Yes, it was just wonderful, because Jeffrey, being as young as he was when his dad died, your memory tends to be real fuzzy. And so it was just so nice for Mark to come spend the weekend with us and really tell him about his dad and about his community spirit and about what he had done for him as he was growing up.
And as your son learned about his father through Mark, you learned something about Mark, namely that he had become a big brother.
Yes, I was really surprised. I shouldn't have been, but it was such a moving experience for him that he decided he wanted to help another child.
In a few minutes, we'll meet Mark, and we will also meet the little brother, I put that in quotes because he's not so little anymore, that Mark mentored. But this is a real example, I think, a living, ongoing example right here in town of exactly what the Colin Powells and the George Bushes are talking about.
Mm-hmm. what you do for what you're thinking you're doing for one person not only makes you feel good, but in this case has touched the lives of many, many people that we never even could have dreamed about.
Now, we talk a lot about single-parent families as a statistic, and sometimes single moms get offended at some of the generalities that are made about single mothers or single-parent families. But what was really missing, or what do you think Mark supplied for his little brother, or was supplied for your son by his big brother? What does the program do for a child?
It provides a really good male role model in the case of my son. And there are things like my husband was very much into sports. I don't know anything about sports, and my son has learned a lot about sports through his big brother. And that's something that's very important to a young boy as he's growing up, and that I could not have provided by myself.
And I suppose we have to concede that there is also some benefit to just being around a man when you're a boy, that it may not be something that's literally taught or literally, you know, passed on, but just sort of the ambiance or the companionship.
Mm-hmm. They need somebody to identify with, of the opposite sex, so that they can learn certain things that they can't learn from just that one parent. You know, when you're with your child consistently, you may have some blind spots that you can't see, and bringing in another person can help you bring up your child and sort of bypass those blind spots.
What would you say to a woman listening to us right now who is thinking about but maybe hesitating to place her son in the Big Brother's waiting list?
I would say do it now, especially since there's such a long waiting list. I hear that there's 200 children on the waiting list and 90% of them are boys. Mm-hmm. I was hesitant. I was hesitant because I wanted to make sure that whoever my son was paired with was really good for him, and they do such a fantastic job over there at the agency as far as matching people, and it's just such a wonderful experience. I couldn't even describe it if you gave me an hour on the radio.
Well, we're going to give you a little help describing it because we're going to talk to Mark Nasik in just a minute. As I mentioned, Mark was the little brother of Christine's late husband. He is now a big brother. We'll meet his little brother, and we'll talk to them all. If you're interested in Big Brothers, Big Sisters here in San Antonio, it's 225-6322. We'll talk some more about it. This is what that challenge yesterday was all about. Jack Riccardi, WOAI News Time. We're talking about this Texas challenge yesterday. It wasn't just words and a couple of VIPs on a platform. Even if you don't like them or care about big words and fancy phrases, what we're talking about is the ways in which we can participate in the lives of young people who may not have or may need more of an adult presence there. And here in San Antonio, of all of the ways you can do that, the way I think works the best, and certainly I've seen firsthand results, is Big Brothers, Big Sisters. You can call them at 225-6322. We're talking to Christine Sinek, whose son participated in the program and got to know a man who had been the little brother of her late husband. That man's name is Mark Nasik, and he joins us. Mark, good morning.
Good morning.
You're in, is it Phoenix?
Tucson, Arizona.
Tucson. Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about, was it David?
David, yeah.
Yes.
David is Christine's late husband and the father of Jeff Sinek, who I just recently visited about 2 months ago. And David and I got matched up in Boston, Massachusetts when I was probably around 10 to 13 years old. And
what was going on in your life at that time?
Well, my parents were divorced, and I didn't see my father that much. And I was really needing to have male influence, male energy in my life. And when David and I got matched up, it was really wonderful. We would do things together, go to the Science Museum in Boston, go out and play Frisbee, or just be together. It didn't matter really what we were doing. Just being together was so nurturing and so filled this blank that I had in me.
Yeah. It wasn't so much the activity, it was the company.
Yes.
That inspired you, and this is known to happen in the program, not infrequently, it inspired you to become a big brother. How old were you when you decided to get in the program?
I was 21 when I became a big brother to Seth Jones.
Okay. And we have him on the line with us as well, and we have Christine Sinek, too. Seth, are you there?
I am here.
Good morning. Now, Seth, how old are you?
I'm 23.
Okay, you're 23. Just to give everybody a sense of where we stand here in terms of time passages, let me ask you, Mark, how old you are now?
32.
Okay. So there wasn't a huge age gap between you two when you were matched up.
No, just 10.
Not really.
Yeah. Seth, what was it like to not have Mark and then suddenly to have him? What difference did he make?
Well, I tell you, I don't remember the time before. I was living with my mom. It was just me, my mom, one other mom, and her son. And I guess that was, you know, my mom's way of trying to get me, you know, have someone else around. And that didn't seem to be working. I was really a problem child. And the Big Brother Big Sister Association in Nashua paired up Mark and I on March 10th, 1986. And instantly, it was a love. It was a bond there.
You remember the exact day?
I remember the exact day, yeah. I mean, I believe the story goes, I walked in and I hopped on Mark's lap. Is that how it went, Mark?
That's how it went. It was just instant connection.
Yeah, it really was. It was great because Mark and I did the same things that he and his big brother did. We went to Boston, and he, you know, I never got out of. I lived in New Hampshire, in Nashville, which is just about half an hour north of Boston, and I never got a chance to go into Boston. He showed me that. But what Mark brought to me was respect. Not that I will show respect, but he respected me. And at that age in my life, no one had really given me the respect that Mark had. And I think that is what helped me to become who I am today.
And Seth, somebody told me, is it true now you would like to be a big brother?
I certainly would. Certainly. As soon as my feet are planted firmly in the ground, I will, that, yeah. In fact, the past couple years, I was a high school wrestling coach up until last year when I made the move out to California. And there was a young man named Brad 80 on the wrestling team who was, he was going through the same problems I was as a freshman in high school. You know, his parents just got divorced, his dad just got remarried, and he was living in that situation. And I would take him out and you know, basically be his big brother. So, yeah, that's definitely an interest of mine.
And just to sort of go back and show how this all started, we started with Christine, who lost her husband, had a boy who she wanted to enroll in the Big Brother program so he would have a male presence. Right, Christine?
Right.
That decision led to that boy being matched up with Mark. Mark had been the little brother of your husband. So the first decision was that, we got to make sure we do this right. The first decision was your husband's decision to be a big brother.
Yes.
He was a big brother to Mark.
Yes.
Mark then met your son after your husband died.
Right.
So that he would know a little more about his dad.
Right. And my son now has a big brother as well.
Which is wonderful. Mark became a big brother when he grew up, having been the little brother of Christine's husband. He big brothered Seth, who now is too big to need a big brother, but who is now interested. But who? Yeah, I'll bet. And who now is interested in being a big brother himself. So we can see where just one decision way back there by Christine's husband has led to all of this. And these are people who don't necessarily have anything else in common but this experience.
That's right. And he, I don't think he ever thought that a big brother would be helping his son.
So this is really the power that one decision can make. Before we let you all go, Does anybody want to address the concern that a man listening might have who might not feel like he's up to this task? Does anybody?
Yes, I would. I'm Mark. I'm the little brother of David and the big brother of Seth.
Right.
I just want to say that if anyone is out there and wants companionship or wants to learn and also wants to give, I think this is the most incredible opportunity, because when we give the gift of love, miracles happen. And as you can see, there's like four generations of people that have received the gift that Dave Sinek initially set out. And I'm really grateful that he has come into my life and still feel his presence. And I just want to say that love is the teacher. All that you need is love, and everything else will work.
You know, that's beautifully said. We have here Chris and Mark and Seth, but I almost feel like we have David, too, in a way.
Definitely we do.
I believe he's here.
All of these lives touched by his decision to get involved, and we hope your decision to get involved, too. 225-6322, the number here in San Antonio. We're going to talk some more about it. Chris, Mark, Seth, thank you very much for the time this morning.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
And God bless all of you for what you've been through and for what you've shared with other people. News headlines, we're going to come back and talk about it. If you have a thought about it or have been involved in it or want to talk about it or wonder about it, 737-1200. This time, 1135, Jeff. Jack Riccardi on News Radio 1200 WOAI. I'll tell you right now, the first time I heard Christine Sinek's story, I wasn't able to quite hold it all together. So I had the benefit of already hearing and reading her story, or else I might not be as composed as I am right now. It's quite the story. And again, just to sort of, it's so confusing, I can't even tell it right all the time, but Christine... husband dies. She has this boy. She's concerned about him, so she enrolls him in the Big Brother program. The husband had been a Big Brother. And the man who had been his little brother came here to San Antonio, visited with her son, told her son about the kind of man his father was. In the meantime, that former little brother, now grown up, named Mark, becomes a big brother to a guy named Seth, who grows up. Now Seth wants to be a big brother. And I think that all of this sort of conveys the power of the decision to get involved in something like Big Brothers Big Sisters. There are other mentor programs. There are ways you can mentor through the schools, and of course you can mentor through something like Boys and Girls Club, or be a volunteer in something like the Scouts. But to me, just about the neatest and certainly most effective thing I've ever seen in this vein is Big Brothers Big Sisters. Now, it's interesting that we're talking about calling on men to get involved, because I learned something very interesting about the gender gap they have in Big Brothers Big Sisters. As the name implies, they also match women with little girls. And it turns out that they have a lot of women waiting for a girl. The waiting list on the female side of things is among the adults. Nothing tragic there, right? Nothing sad about that. But on the male side, the waiting list is made up of boys. So where there's an abundance of adult women who want to get involved in this, there is a great shortage of adult men. How bad is it? I have heard, and I may be a little bit off on this, that the waiting list for boys can be as long as 2 years. That's here in San Antonio. Now think about it. You're in the situation Christine was in. Her husband has passed away. Suddenly there's no man in this boy's life. Or your child is starting to get in trouble in school. Or he's just lonely. He wants someone to take him to games or fishing or play catch with him, and there's no one to do that. We can't have kids in that situation waiting 2 years. You and I could get on a waiting list for 2 years if we wanted to buy an expensive sports car and there was a two-year waiting list, or we wanted to go to a fancy vacation resort and there was a two-year waiting list, or, you know, we could handle it. But you don't want kids waiting. The difference that is going to be made needs to be made right away. So what we're asking is for more involvement. Now, I'm going to be right up front with you about this. I'm not a big brother. So am I a hypocrite? I suppose some people could say that. I would like to be one, and I plan on doing it someday. I have not done it yet. But one of the reasons I hesitated for a long time, and I have since learned that my reasons for hesitating are not very good ones, is I thought that you had to be some kind of Clark Kent, Superman, you know, Mr. Rogers, Bill Cosby, Michael Jordan, amalgamation to this kid. You had to be the coolest, neatest, funnest guy, and just he would just adore you, just worship the ground you walked on. But the amazing thing is, when you meet these kids, they're not expecting anything. Some of them never knew their dad, or they don't remember their dad. I think you heard Seth say he didn't even remember his life before he got a big brother. They're not looking for big things. They're looking for a trip to the ballpark, see a missions game. They're looking for a Saturday afternoon where you wash the car together. They're looking, in short, for the stuff that we used to do with our dads, which was not big stuff, just routine stuff. It's the kind of thing that if you always had a dad, and I was lucky enough to always have one, you always took for granted. Every day at 4:30, the same guy came through our front door. I knew he'd be there. It was like clockwork. He had time for us. You know, he was fun. He smelled good. You know, the whole thing. And I mean, until you haven't had that, maybe you can't imagine how the mundane or the routine is so important. All these kids want is to know that not every day, but maybe once a week, the same guy's going to come and spend a little time with them. And I've talked to guys that are big brothers. They tell me that they don't always have a destination. Sometimes they take the kid along with them on the errands they're running on Saturday. What do you do on Saturdays? You go to the store, you go here, you go there, you work out. They just take the kid with them. Or they take him around and do work in the garden. And once in a while, you do have some fun. Maybe you go to a Fiesta Texas. But the point is, I always shied away from it because I thought it was too much for me. And it's really not too much for anybody. 737-1200, 1-800-383-WOAI. David is mobile. David, you're on News Radio 1200, WOAI. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I just wanted to call. I'm here on Interstate 37. Although I'm no longer involved with the Big Brother program, I was an officer of the program we had out at Fort Sam Houston back in the middle and late 70s. That dealt primarily with the dependence of men that were either POWs, MIAs, killed in action, that kind of thing, through the Army, and was one of the first people that helped start the Big Brother program here in San Antonio. Through that program, over a period of about 8 to 10 years, I had 5 little brothers, and with the exception of one of them dying by a electrocution accidentally a couple years ago, I've maintained my friendship over the years with all these young men. All but one of them are now married, have got families. I'm